You are listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. Israel's expanding occupation of Palestinian land continues unchecked. The building of the apartheid wall in the West Bank and the recent devastation in Gaza are two of the latest brutal installments of Israel's continuing attempt to ethnically purge Palestinians from their country. Joining us in studio, just back from the olive harvest on the West Bank, is Hawaita Araf. She is the co-founder of the International Solidarity Movement. That group, the ISM, have now been repeatedly attacked, beaten, arrested, and in some instances murdered, I say that word advisedly, murdered by Israeli occupying forces. Hawaita is in the Bay Area. She's speaking tonight. We'll give you more information about that later. Welcome, Hawaita. First of all, I understand that just in the last month, the last several weeks, 2 weeks, two ISM workers were shot.
Approximately 3 weeks ago, we had two ISM volunteers shot with the live ammunition. Thankfully, it was in the legs in the city of Nablus, actually in a refugee camp, when the Israeli army drove into the refugee camp and just started shooting randomly all over the place. Two ISM were hit, along with two Palestinian children. They are all okay. None of the shots were lethal, thank God. And actually, just 2 days ago, also, a Swiss volunteer was hit in the upper body, in the neck, actually, but it was with a rubber-coated steel bullet and from a far enough away distance that that also was not lethal. So, but this is the kind of, violent soldiers come in and just start shooting. They drive into civilian neighborhoods, fire their weapons all over the place, and more often than not, these are lethal shots, as we've had close to 3,000 Palestinian civilians killed in the last 3 years.
Well, we should remember that. If they'll shoot Americans, what will they do to Palestinians under occupation when the whole world is looking in a different direction?
Right.
Tell us about the olive harvest campaign. That's a big thing going on the West Bank, particularly in the context of the apartheid wall.
Well, this is the season for the olive harvest. This time every year, Palestinians go to their land and harvest their olives. And for a lot of Palestinians, this is their main source of income for the year. But for the past couple of years, the International Solidarity Movement has been sponsoring an olive harvest campaign where we ask internationals from all over the world to come join Palestinians, because they can't do something as simple as go to their land without a threat to their lives. And so these civilians come, and in the past 5 weeks, we've had well over 150 foreign civilians from all over come to the occupied Palestinian territories. We train them in what to expect from Israeli soldiers and Israeli settlers, and we send them in groups to Palestinian communities to join Palestinians in attempting to get to their land. And I say attempting because we often face difficulty. And in the past few weeks, it has been very difficult with the Israeli army blocking these civilians, the farmers, and the internationals that go with them from access to their land, and using violence to turn the civilians, the farmers, away. What they've instituted with this wall that they're building also is they're trying to implement these regulations where they place times and conditions and restrictions on Palestinians getting to their land. For example, this wall that has been built has isolated from Palestinians most of their farming land. And so most Palestinian farming communities have had 75-80% of their farmland taken away from them, and they fall on the other side of the wall, which they are prevented. They're prevented from getting to it except by means of what Israel calls a gate that they open whenever they want and let whoever they want through and deny whoever they want. In most areas, the army has said that they instituted these times so the farmers can get in at very specific times, usually no more than three times a day. The gate is opened for about 15 minutes. And even when they come and open it on time, usually they're very late and taunt Palestinians with the fact that they have the keys to the gates and Palestinians are at the mercy of the soldiers. But then the soldiers get to decide which farmers go in that day and which farmers don't. And so sometimes they implement rules, arbitrary rules, such as, no one under the age of 35 is getting in today. No one under the, you know, no men under the age of 40 are getting in today. And it changes. You know, one morning they said no one under the age of 28 is getting in today. And then an hour and a half later, they said no one under the age of 38 is going in today. So it's completely arbitrary. But what we're finding is what we're seeing is, you know, the Palestinian farmers seeing that the international community is doing nothing about this. You know, the United States vetoes a UN Security Council resolution condemning the wall, and Israel continues to build at a frightening rate, continues to uproot their olive trees, and even when they try to throw themselves in front of their bulldozers, hang on to their trees or complain and protest, everything they do, no one is doing anything about it. And what can this, you know, unarmed community, simple farmers do up against the fourth largest military in the world? And so farmers are trying to, in a sense, comply or find some way around. You know, some farmers have been sleeping out on their land and really hiding out on their land when they're able to access it, and hiding from soldiers that come through the land and round up these farmers and kick them off. The ISM has been trying to support these farmers, but it is very difficult, and it's getting increasingly devastating as the Israeli army, again, with the arbitrary rule, says, you know, such and such a community can only harvest on these 2 days, and the community tries to comply and goes out on these days that are given to them to harvest, and the soldiers say, nope, not today, try back in 2 days.
I guess the thing that really gets me is, and I don't think we can do this too many times, we're talking about a situation where a wall was built between where people live and where their land is. So they either can't get to their land, or if they get to their land, they can't get back unless somebody comes by and opens up the key to a door. If they're angry, if there's an accusation, if somebody writes graffiti on the wall, there could be all kinds of collective punishment. I mean, this is what's going on, right?
It's exactly what's going on. And in fact, some of the communities that we work with have been organizing means of protests in order to get their voices heard in the international community, in the hope that someone will mobilize to join them to hold Israel accountable for what it's doing, which is essentially turning Palestinian communities into large prisons. And but exactly as you said, these communities will be punished, you know, the next day and for the next week. You know, the community that dares to protest like this will not have the gates opened. And so these farmers that rely completely on, you know, their harvest will not be able to get to their land. And as you said, punishment, and also, for example, all Jewish holidays, no Palestinian movement at all, no Palestinian cars on any of the roads, no gates open for Palestinians to get to their land, no Palestinian movement of products from one area to another. So we see a lot of the Palestinian crops even rotting because they're not able to transport them. And this wall not only has isolated Palestinians from their farmland, but actually 16 villages fall in between this line and the internationally recognized border between Israel and the occupied territory. So in between the wall and the green line, you have 16 Palestinian villages. And so these villages can't go past the wall into the West Bank, into other areas of the West Bank, and they can't go into Israel. So they're trapped in this very small area. And completely rely on, you know, soldiers or opening of the gates to get places. And now the Israeli military has said, as of last month, this new order came out that says that these Palestinians that live in this area have to apply for permanent residency permits to be able to stay. And if the military commander of the region denies this Palestinian a permanent residency permit, then they are living in their home illegally. Same with Palestinians that want to access their land that might not live in there. They have to apply for entrance and exit permits to be able to farm their land. And it's completely random. The military commander of an area has complete control over who he or she assigns or grants these permits to.
And some of these people have been living on this land how long?
Oh, generations. Generations. Their fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers have been on this land and have planted and tended to the trees that have been uprooted now in the land that has been flattened for the path of this wall.
And there's also a military order, I believe, about the reallocation of some of this newly stolen land is being open to Jews around the world?
Well, the same military order says that any Palestinian or anyone that wants to enter this area now that's between the wall and the green line, which they're calling the seam zone, needs to apply for a permit. Now, the only people that this permit does not apply to or that are free to be in this area are Israelis or anyone that has the right to have Israeli citizenship according to the law of return, which essentially translates into any Jew from anywhere in the world has more right to this land than the Palestinian landowners.
All right, we're running out of time. Tell us a little bit about the International Solidarity Movement, why you founded it, and where you're going now.
Well, the ISM was founded specifically to support by joining the Palestinian nonviolent resistance to the occupation. It was founded approximately 2.5 years ago, and the idea was to get people from all over the world to stand in solidarity with Palestinians and with anyone against occupation. So it's for freedom and against occupation. And the methods that we use traditionally are nonviolent direct action. And we need international civilians to join Palestinians. All the actions on the ground are Palestinian-led, but we need internationals basically to help us get the word out, to help break the stereotypes that it's the Palestinians that are being violent, and to really get the message out that we all must stand together against occupation and injustice. And also practically on the ground, when Palestinians are standing alone and are resisting nonviolently alone, they're dehumanized, they're accused of being, you know, militants and terrorists, and then they're attacked very violently and often lethally and are blamed for their own deaths, and the world doesn't know. So with people from all over the world standing together and attempting to highlight and expose the illegal and very brutal tactics of the occupation, it is hope that we will see the end of occupation much sooner, sooner than later.
Well, Haweda Araf, there's so much more to say about this. I think that this issue is crucial. It's important to the Palestinians, and it should be important to every U.S. citizen, because there wouldn't be this kind of occupation without eight or nine or I don't know how many billion dollars are going from this country to make this kind of vicious occupation possible.
And Americans are really essentially helping to build this wall and create the ghettos of the 21st century. It's American tax dollars, and so I'm hoping that people listening to your show will contact their Congress, their representatives about this and protest the fact that we're allowing this to happen and we're allowing our tax dollars to go to pay for this wall and this occupation.
All right, Haweda, thanks for coming in and being with us on Flashpoints.
Thank you, Dennis.